Welcome to 360 with Ohio State Athletics, presented by Kroger. I'm Tyler Danberg, and each episode we talk to a head coach at Ohio State to learn more about their career and their program. In this episode, we sit down with men's volleyball head coach Kevin Birch, who is in his seventh year leading the program for a school he's long been connected to. Birch has coached in both men's and women's college volleyball since 2009, when he was a student assistant at Ohio State under head coach Pete Hansen. But before he won seven straight national titles, before he led Buckeye men's volleyball, Birch was a high schooler just getting acquainted with the sport.
A long time ago, it feels like. But no, it was my parents always played in a rec league, and so I was around it in that sense. I had some close family friends that played and coached at a high level around me, and it was something I figured I'd give a shot. My junior high school, I was playing a bunch of other sports, and you know, after that first tryout I had, I was hooked. So I loved that sport from day one more than I loved any other sport. So it became a pretty easy thing to stick with.
In high school, you played soccer, you played football, you golfed. When did you pick up volleyball?
Not until my junior year of high school. So it was the spring of my junior year of high school. Picked it up pretty late. And thankfully, we weren't a great team at that time. So I was able to make varsity. And I had some, you know, again, I was really invested in it. I loved it. So I was really passionate about getting as good as I could. And I never got good, but I got good enough, I guess, to help our team get to the playoffs for the first time in a few years. I wasn't the main reason by any means, but it was a fun experience, and just kind of built the passion that I had from day one.
What about the sport hooked you?
Honestly, there's just so many aspects of it. You know, I certainly loved playing the front row and hitting. You know, obviously, as I got to higher levels, that wasn't going to be a thing. But I think there's a place for every different type of personality, different type of body type, different type of strengths. And the game really, if you look at it, I think a lot of people think you have to be tall, which certainly that gives an advantage. But the reality is there's really is a place for everybody. And I think that's the reason why I'm here today is as I got to higher levels, I found that there was a place for me, and I kind of loved the sport so much that I did all I could to stay a part of it.
You played collegiately in 2008 at Orange Coast College out in California. When did you realize that playing collegiately was going to be an opportunity for you?
The club that I was coaching for is Balboa Bay. It was one of the premier clubs on the West Coast and in the country. Travis Turner is the director. He was also the head coach of Orange Coast College, still is today, actually. And, you know, I was just messing around in between, you know, during water breaks and hitting balls and having fun with some of the kids playing around. And he goes, "Why don't you play for me?" And I think he knew I wasn't ever going to be an impact guy, but I think maybe he just wanted somebody that was passionate about the sport and that was going to set a good culture example, maybe that you know, was going to get extra reps and work hard and push the guys around him.
So after that one season at Orange Coast, you decide to transfer to Ohio State, where you became a volunteer student assistant for the Ohio State men's volleyball program. Ohio State is a school that you have some connection to, but what prompted you to move cross-country and go to Ohio State?
So my grandfather graduated with his bachelor's, master's, and PhD in physics. Now, and he was an infrared physicist, if you can believe that. So we went from infrared physicist to two generations later being a volleyball coach. He moved to California. He worked actually for Ford Aerospace, which doesn't even exist anymore, doing actually global warming research. He actually did some of the first research. GM, General Motors, wanted to do research even in the 50s and 60s on how they could curve their business model to accommodate global warming and if it would make money. Now, they obviously found that it didn't at that time, and they closed that wing of the company. But that brought him to Southern California. That obviously I was born and raised there. The foundation for being an Ohio State fan was laid. He and my grandma were, my whole family are huge Ohio State fans. So honestly, when it came to being able time to transfer after that year at Orange Coast College, Travis had a good connection with Pete Hansen at the time. He knew I wanted to go there really bad, and then Pete was gracious enough to make room for me.
What is your first memory or impression of Ohio State?
My first memory was Pete just showing up 15 minutes early for our meeting and treating me kind of – I felt like he was treating me like a five-star recruit, and I couldn't really understand why. But I think the other thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is, you know, that first meeting I had with the team – I was nervous, I was quiet, and right as soon as that meeting was over with Steve Keough, who was the team captain at the time, Hall of Famer now, came right up to me and asked what I was doing that night and wanted me to hang out with the guys and get to know the guys. And I remember feeling like I felt like I was being treated like a player, and that made me, you know, from the get-go. I hadn't proven myself at all, but yet, you know, I think they knew I was passionate about the program, really wanted to be there, and they were all gracious enough to make me feel really a part of it from the get-go.
In your time as a student, what did you learn from the legendary Hall of Fame head coach, Pete Hansen?
Man, so much. He was probably one of the most consistent people I've ever been around. You know, he showed up to work every day at the same exact time. Working for him, you knew what to expect every day. The guys knew what to expect every day. He was always consistent with her in terms of how he held them accountable. The expectations from point to point to practice every day was the exact same, and guys were able to really develop and understand the expectations.
Now, you had a unique experience at Ohio State, not just with the Buckeye men's volleyball program, but in 2010, you also got to serve as women's volleyball head coach of Columbus State. How would you describe your time as a head coach while still in college leading that group?
You know, it was we had a really good AD who was the head coach before, and he really helped walk me through that. He was really patient with me being a young head coach at the time. We had a good, talented squad that was really bought in. I was lucky enough to be the assistant the year prior, so there was a relationship that I had developed with a lot of the players. As it was, I recruited a lot of the freshmen, so I had a good relationship from the get-go being young. I think I look back to my experience with the men's team at Ohio State before that, and it really taught me that the importance of not only what you say, but how you say it, especially to people at your own age. You know, I kind of had to learn how to speak to people that were playing at a higher level than I ever could, that were also my same age, to still respect what I was saying and what I was providing. And so I think I kind of found a way with the help of Pete, with the help of some other assistants, with the help of the guys and their patience as well. And I was able to take that to Columbus State. We had a great year. We overachieved, I felt. It was an amazing experience, not only for the women on the team, who I'm still in contact with, but for me, selfishly, it was a confidence boost for sure.
Did you learn as much from the players as the players learned from you?
I certainly think so. I mean, I certainly gained. I can't imagine that they were able to gain any more confidence than I did. I walked away from that experience with a lot of confidence as a head coach, or as a coach in general. And so it was a really valuable experience for me moving on to different types of roles, but just, you know, again, building confidence as a coach. Both teams, men's and the women's team at Columbus State, were really able to help me do that.
How would you describe the difference, if any, between coaching men's volleyball and women's volleyball?
I think more team by team. You know, I think there's certainly general aspects of the game that are very different. The serving and passing are a much different game. You're getting a lot more balls in play, longer rallies on the women's side. Where it's the men's side, you're trying to terminate, you're trying to be much more physical and aggressive and make rallies shorter. So it's that part's different. I certainly think there's some personality types, but you can go generational too. But I really think it's just team by team. And I was lucky enough to just see some of the common denominators across both genders and see what were valuable. And that's, you know, I don't see it as much about gender as I do just about just team to team.
So switching back to Ohio State, when you were a student assistant, what did you try to do to separate yourself and prepare yourself for the next level of coaching?
You know, honestly, it was just, you know, I think any employee in any profession, any company, you know, you're typically there to make a company money. You know, in this situation, I knew from the get-go, my job was to help this team win games. So I didn't necessarily think of it as a way, like, how can I separate myself? It was more just, how can I help this team win games? I was passionate about the sport. I was able to learn a lot in terms of technology that was being used at this level that wasn't in others. And I kind of dove into that. I saw that, you know, it's called Data Volley at the time, which is kind of like sport code that they use in basketball and some other sports. Basically, you're getting real-time data stats that align with the video so that, you know, you can watch all of our swings. You can help organize everything and make everything efficient in terms of, you know, not only the data that you're getting, but you can watch video with guys. Like if a left side comes in, you can pull up all of his swings instantly and watch 20, and it makes it really efficient. I could help organize that for their guys. That was one thing. The other thing, too, was I saw that technology and that data as a way to kind of be my support detail, if you will, right? Like English class, you have to make a point. You have to support that point with information, with credible evidence. The data and the technology were my way of doing that, and in making my case for ways that I think we could, you know, either changes or things that we could do from a volleyball standpoint to help us win.
So after your time at Ohio State, after graduating, Kevin, you go to Springfield College, then to UC Irvine, back to Springfield College, and then to State College to go to Penn State and be the director of operations for women's volleyball in 2014 when the Nittany Lions won a national championship. Getting to work with Russ Rose, another legendary head coach, what was your biggest takeaway from working with him?
Oh, man, there's a lot. I think one thing that I learned from him is confidence has to be earned. You know, that was the most confident group of athletes I've ever been around. And they were the hardest working I've ever been around. And it was simple. The expectations, the accountability was there every single day. Talk about consistency like Pete. But I also learned, it was interesting, you know, I went from Charlie Sullivan at Springfield, who has won 13 national titles, Division III, legendary coach, who was all about process-driven, process, which, so I know I believe in that for the most part. But then you go to Russ, who's all product. I don't care how you do it. Just get, this is the result. This is the expectation. This is how I want you to achieve it. And both were insanely successful. So I think what I learned from Russ is that it's important, whatever you believe as a coach, you have to double down on that and preach that and go and go and go. There's some adaptability, certainly, but you can win multiple different ways. It was the greatest value of going from those two coaches, especially as the common denominators of what really matters.
What brought you back to the Ohio State men's volleyball program?
You know, I think at that point, working for Pete was such a valuable experience, and it felt like a family from day one. It ended on such a high note, you know, starting that day one and being made to feel so special and part of that family from day one, and then to finish that way was so incredible. So when the opportunity came to come back full time, it was a no-brainer. I think there's a lot of times you get offers, assistant coaches, whatever, and you always have a kind of a gut feeling. When Pete called, I knew instantly where I was going.
By the end of your second year as an assistant coach at Ohio State, you would have been a part of 7 straight national championships. Out of those 7 teams, what do you think was the trait that each and every one of those teams had in common?
I think toughness from play to play, responding from errors, certainly. Great under pressure. I think it kind of goes hand in hand. You know, I think tough teams or tough players aren't thinking about being tough. Guys that are great under pressure aren't thinking about being great under pressure, right? They're just more focused on their job. So that was part of it. I certainly think there's personality traits in different positions that were common denominators. I think every head coach that I was a part of, within a month, you're like, oh, this is what makes them great. I get it. You know, and there's certain little things. It's, you know, but I think there's always, to your point earlier, there's always something that separates them, that whether it's expectations or how they drive, how they work, you know, the common sense decisions that they might make. They're always thinking about what sets them apart. And I think every one of those head coaches and teams, it was very clear why they were successful.
And now a word from our friends at Kroger.
Enjoy more ways to save at Kroger, like low prices in every aisle. And when you download the Kroger app, you can clip and save more with digital coupons every week. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. At Kroger, you can enjoy more ways to save and more rewards every time you shop. So it's always easy to save big every day with savings and rewards. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now back to our conversation with Kevin Birch. When did you realize that being the head coach of the Ohio State men's volleyball program was a possibility?
Honestly, not until fairly soon before Pete retired. I knew, just in some short conversations, I knew it was going to be a possibility. I certainly was not going to be a certainty. I never felt it was a certainty until Janine Oman offered me the job. In large part because there's respect to the program and what it is. It's a bigger program than me, than anybody here. So not that other ones weren't by any means, but, you know, it was one of those where I knew it was going to have to be an earned process. And, you know, it was a program that I have an immense amount of respect for and wanted to make sure that I never assumed anything.
Where were you and what were you doing when you got the call from Janine Oman?
It was a whole day-long interview. It was a pretty grueling process to prepare for it, be ready for it. Coach Nick Myers actually was a huge help in prepping me for that. I did some mock interviews with him, which was a huge help. I still look back at that and have an immense amount of gratitude towards him and what he was able to help me do. But it was a whole day-long interview. Janine called me, I think it finished around 4 o'clock. She called me about 5:30, and I came in, and she sat down in my office, and I was kind of – so I sat down in her office, and she offered me the job, and I was pretty shocked.
So you mentioned Nick Myers, men's lacrosse head coach. How supportive are all the coaches of each other, and what's it like to be a part of this athletic department where the head coaches run in the same circles.
It's unbelievable. I mean, that was part that honestly kind of shocked me. I mean, all these coaches are very, for the most part, type A, very hard, very, very driven, very hardworking, very busy people. They know how to prioritize. And so when I've reached out to them in the past, I always kind of give them the out. Hey, if you're busy, don't worry about it. And all of them within seconds are responding. Hey, I got whatever you need. And Nick was, I mean, kind of set that standard, I think. Lori Walker's been amazing. I mean, I can't tell you. Brian Mazenoff has been amazing. There's so many. Like Jen's been great. Tom has been amazing. You know, when it came to COVID, you know, I didn't have any fundraising. All of a sudden, we had a fundraise. And the first person I looked to was Tom. And I told him I was dead on. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he gave me a great plan to start with. Great people to go to. And, you know, they've been an amazing network of coaches. And it's kind of funny, after 7 years now, I'm looking back, I'm not the young guy anymore. And now it's almost my time to do the same thing towards the younger coaches now.
Whether it's something that you do in practice, maybe the way that you approach strength and conditioning, or anything off the court, is there something that comes to mind immediately that you've taken away from other coaches in Ohio State athletics that you've implemented into your program?
I think there's little things here and there that I talk about. Certainly, Nick has kind of helped me understand the standard that needs to be set every single day. Nick's really, this last year, this is the first year we did captains, and he was extremely helpful for the process that he uses. He's also been helpful in terms of postseason questionnaires for the guys, so you can get more information and learn as a head coach. There's been coaches too. Being a head coach, I didn't have any experience being a head coach. So like even when it comes to contract stuff, I've reached out to other people. So there's a lot of different areas of this job that I didn't have a ton of experience with. And I've reached out to a lot of other coaches, whether it be practice or just day-to-day admin operations.
So let's look at your team now, Kevin. You mentioned the captains. Who are they and what have they brought to the program?
Drew Hudson, first sophomore captain in program history. Shane Wetzel. Firmly, I think first and foremost, they've led by example. You know, I think they're the two guys that have really been bought in. Other guys have too as well, don't get me wrong, but they're the most consistent day-to-day in practice, and they've really established that. They do an unbelievable job of coming in every single day with the intent of getting better in every little detail, and it's been really impressive, and I think the guys around them have seen that and respect that.
How have you seen those guys rally around Drew and Shane?
A ton. I mean, it's – you know, I think when you see guys come in every single day focused on getting better no matter what's going on, that you respect that toughness, you respect that intentional focus. And so when it comes time to hold people accountable or communicate as a team, guys are looking up to them. There's no questioning their intent. There's no questioning what they're doing because their actions have already proven where they're at.
Shane Wetzel came in and he made an impact immediately. 2023 MEVA Freshman of the Year. Where have you seen him and his game evolve in his time here at OSU?
I think his serving has certainly gotten better and better every year, to the point where I think his last 2 years he's been one of our best servers. I think I was talking to one of our assistants last year when he was coming in for practice, and I was like, you know, Shane's every single day, he's incredibly dialed in on just getting better, which is really hard to do. You know, it's really hard to be that focused each and every day with as much as we push these guys, as much as we're in their training. And that was a big maturation process for him, even from his freshman year. So to see him make better decisions off the court, to see him grow as a human and as a leader and as a volleyball player has been really fun to watch.
If you have one word to describe what this year's group is like, what do you think that one word would be?
Good question. First word is talented. I mean, we got arms. You know, we're a team that can do a lot through a lot. You know, we don't have to be perfect to be able to win games. And I think trying to figure that out and learn that we don't have to be perfect has been a challenge for a young team, or an inexperienced team is probably the better way to put it. But I still think the confidence is still there as we work through those issues.
You've said you like big arms when it comes to your players. When you're building the roster, what do you look for in incoming recruits?
You know, I think resilience is a huge thing. You know, I want to see at a young age that they're able to have confidence through mistakes or imperfection. That's certainly a big part. I think height is certainly a big thing that can mitigate a lot of risk. Our sport, guys typically start playing later, so we want to see guys, give guys more time to develop. And so part of it's patience, you know, watching them develop and grow into the game. But size certainly helps.
Are you seeing incoming freshmen have more experience in volleyball compared to maybe when you were getting started in coaching?
Yeah, for sure. I think as the sport grows, as you see more and more guys start to play at a young age, you're seeing guys start to play more and more at a younger age, because as more opportunities at the high school level start, there's also going to be more opportunities even at the middle school level, the elementary school level, which is critical for our sport. It's a repetition sport. The more touches that they can get, the more they're going to develop. And so certainly guys are starting to play younger, which is huge.
Does that make it easier or harder to evaluate talent?
I think it makes it easier. I think the more they played, the more we understand, right? Like, I think if we see a guy that's only played for 2 years, there's still a huge wild card element. Which way is he going to go? Is he going to, you know, is he going to get stronger? Is he going to develop more as a passer? Whereas if you see a guy as a sophomore and is a good passer, he's probably going to be a good passer when he gets to college, right? So I certainly think it helps and makes the recruitment process a lot easier.
In your time playing, now coaching, where have you seen the sport of men's volleyball specifically grow?
Across the country. I mean, I think my senior year, so I think it would have been, 2011, that spring, I think we had 8 or 9 California guys on the team. And if you look at that roster specifically in that year, you're going to see a very regionalized roster. Now, you look at our roster, we're literally all over the world, all over the country, all over the world. We've proven other teams across the country have proven you don't need guys from California to win, and I'm saying that as a California native. So I think you're starting to see guys playing at a younger age in different parts of the country, which has been really fun to watch.
How has that helped you build the roster? How do you go about finding these guys with a larger geographical footprint?
There's a 5-star recruit. Number 3 overall recruit, for example, is from Cincinnati versus if number 3 overall recruit is from L.A. It's going to be a lot harder to get the L.A. kid to come to Ohio, typically. Doesn't mean we haven't. Miles Johnson was from San Diego, big 5-star recruit. He came here, helped us win a national title. But it's going to be a lot easier in general if you get Ohio kids to stay here. And we've been able to do that, thankfully. We've got a big one coming in next year. And so I just think that's it's helped. The regional aspect of it has helped us quite a bit.
When people come and watch your team for the first time, what do you hope they see?
I hope they see the raw athleticism that we have and how much fun it is to watch. I think my neighbor came, for example, and came to the Long Beach match, and he goes, text me after. He's like, oh, my gosh, that was so much fun to watch. I didn't expect it. You're seeing guys that look like they're touching 12 feet. You get guys that can win a slam dunk contest and throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, it's a unique combination of athleticism that you don't get to see, and I think being able to watch it live is pretty fun.
What would you say the identity of your program has been in your time at Ohio State?
Offense. We've been a good offensive team year in and year out. And certainly serving has been a big part of it. Certainly you could say about the 2016, 2017 teams. We're going to be aggressive in what we do. We're going to look to attack you in what we do. I think defense has gotten better and better every year. And I think the more control that we can get with that power and that aggression, the better off we're going to be.
This program really started to hit its stride under your tenure in its 4th year. Going back to your 4th year at Ohio State as the head coach, why do you feel like that's when everything started to turn in the right direction?
You know, I think we had a lot. We had 4 years of lessons learned, you know, and I think in general we learned how to embrace the brand. You know, in men's volleyball, one of the biggest brands in the sport, college men's volleyball. And we're going to get the best from everybody. And you either embrace it or you take the other spin of it and you know, you kind of play the victim a little bit with that. And I think, you know, I've learned quite a bit of how to embrace that and how to use it to our advantage. And our guys have certainly done the same thing. And I think, too, is just adapting and learning how to make better decisions, prioritize differently. It's, again, lessons learned. But I also give a lot of credit to those guys that, you know, we were in a similar position 3 years ago. We were about 500 and we finished on a 12-match win streak. You know, I think having to, you know, working through those mistakes and learning how to flip a season around like that was critical. And seeing that we can do it was critical as well.
How does being a head coach at a school with a brand like Ohio State's positively affect the program, especially in the sport of volleyball?
Well, from a recruiting standpoint, it's great, you know, especially with the facilities and the support that our administration has given us. We've certainly proven that we can win national titles here, and so I think that the support that allows us to do that has been critical. The brand is certainly huge, though. I mean, I think when you come to a place or a brand like Ohio State, you're coming to a place like Ohio State to play UCLA, to play USC, to win national championships, to play for NCAA tournaments. We've proven that we can do that, and I think that's a big reason why we've been successful.
When you wear that block O on your chest, who are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about my grandpa. I'm thinking about, you know, the Pete Hansen, the guys that have laid the framework for this program. I think about, going into our locker room and seeing the guys. We have a wall of photos of all the guys that have played for national teams. And seeing how big that wall is, I think of those guys. I think of, you know, even the guys that haven't played a lot but have made an impact in other ways. So, I think there's a lot of people that have made huge impacts. You know, I think I'm really, really fortunate to be a very small part of that. But, you know, I never forget the guys that have laid the program and laid the framework for this program and you know, built the success that we've had.
We've talked about Pete Hanson. We've talked about Russ Rose. Who have been some of your coaching influences in your time?
Certainly those two. Charlie Sullivan's been a huge one at Springfield. He's somebody that I've remained in contact with very closely, along with Russ, along with Pete. Travis Turner is my college coach. I'm still in close contact with him as well. You know, I think that's one thing I was extremely fortunate. From the get-go, I was around great coaches. So I was really, really fortunate to be, you know, passionate about something, but then be around people that were willing to teach me and knew the game at a high level, but again, willing to teach me and willing to give the information that I was willing to soak up.
You've been in this sport really since you were an upperclassman in high school. Where do you see men's volleyball going?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, at the junior level, it's growing at such an exponential rate that I never would have ever expected, especially in the state of Ohio. I think there are limitations to that growth at the college level, certainly, but I think the more it grows at the junior level, the more pressure it's going to put at the college level, and I think that's a really exciting thing for us.
Outside of volleyball, what do you like to do?
Love to golf. Love to spend time with my five-month-old daughter. My wife, Haley, is my wife, and Rose, my five-month-old. Getting to go back to California and spend time with my family. I'm really close to my brother, my sister, and my parents, and so being able to go see them and spend time with them has been critical. Seeing them spend time with my daughter has been really, really cool. But certainly playing golf is something I always try to do as much as I can.
Favorite course you've played?
Ooh, Darby Creek's a good one. Scarlett's always high up on that list. Virtues is always high up on that list. But honestly, anytime I'm golfing, I'm happy.
Got to play the hits, too. What's been the biggest challenge and the biggest reward about being in your role right now and being a first-time dad?
Oh, man, it's asleep is probably, to be quite honest. But, you know, it's something that we all go through and just kind of try to work with it. And, you know, I think the big lesson that I've learned is, you know, just because you aren't sleeping, just because things aren't going well, you still got to be there for your family. You still got to be there for the guys and the people that you serve. And I think it's taught me, it's honestly built confidence in me. You know, if I can do it in this type of an environment, in this type of a situation, I can do it anytime.
And you said Rose always smiling.
Always smiling. It's the greatest thing in the world. Even though you get 2 hours of sleep, you wake her up and she's got a big old smile on her face. And it certainly makes the day bright going ahead, that's for sure.
That's Ohio State men's volleyball head coach Kevin Birch. Kevin, thank you so much for the time and best of luck the rest of the season.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
To keep tabs on the Ohio State men's volleyball program, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com. And be sure to check for future episodes of the show as we get to know more head coaches at Ohio State. Once again, I'm Tyler Danberg, and this has been 360 with Ohio State Athletics, presented by Kroger.